What's up, you guys? It's Ginger, the true crime queen. I'm reminding you now that listener discretion is advised. The dark nature of the show is not suitable for young ears or those that are sensitive to graphic material. But without further ado, let's get it. Yes, you guys. Happy 2021. I am finally back with some new episodes for all my lovely listeners out there. And if you're new to the podcast, it's a great case to start with because I have a story that desperately needs some justice, and chances are you probably haven't heard it yet. And oh, is it gonna make you mad? I gotta quickly thank a couple of my patrons, Arturo and Kelly, for suggesting the case to me, and I'm more than happy to help do what I can to share Haley's story. So you guys want to know what we're mad about today? Haley Dunn was just 13 years old when she literally vanished from her small hometown, Colorado City, Texas, back in 2010. Her remains were found 3 years later, just 35 minutes away from her home. The story in between those two dates is seriously so riddled with shady shit and what the fuck moments that you're gonna be pretty upset when you find out that the person who killed Haley still has yet to be charged. It's now been over 10 years and Haley still hasn't received her justice. And this is not about to be another JonBenet, you guys. Haley Darlene Dunn was born on August 28th of 1997 to her mom, Billie Jean, and her dad, Clint Dunn, in Colorado City, Texas. It's a pretty small city of about, 4,000 people at the time. It's located between the bigger cities of Odessa and Abilene, Texas. Primarily, it's wide open pastures and a lot of open land used for ranches and oil fields. Parents Billie Jean and Clint also have one older son together, a brother to Haley named David, and he's about 3 years older than her. Clint is technically not David's father, though he was said to have raised him since he was about 9 months old. Billie Jean and Clint had started dating when they were just 17, and they ended up having Haley together by the age of 20. And they were a happy little family until about 2008 or so, when Haley was the age of 10. And I believe mom, Billie Jean, had met someone new, so a divorce process was started. But their dad, Clint, actually got a place literally right down the road from Billie Jean, so luckily the kids wouldn't have to go very far at all to see their dad. Haley and David would also end up welcoming a brand new half-sister named Chloe into the family when their father met a woman named Naomi. From what I understand, Haley and her brother would primarily live at their 34-year-old mom, Billie Jean's place, but could go down the street to their dad's pretty much whenever they wanted. And Haley would come down almost every day to see her new little baby sister, Chloe. Haley's mom's boyfriend was 25-year-old Sean Adkins, and he would also end up living in the home at this time with Billie Jean and her two teenage kids. Haley was attending the Colorado Middle School, where she was said to have played softball, basketball, and volleyball. She participated in cheerleading and even played first chair saxophone in her school's band. I mean, this Haley was honestly a freaking champ of a young woman. All I did after school was go home and play The Sims with Judge Judy and Dr. Phil on in the background. Them good old days. But let's move on to Christmas time in 2010. It would have actually been school vacation for both Haley and her brother David. It's understood that Haley, at least, got to spend Christmas and Christmas night, which was a Saturday that year, with her dad Clint, where she would also be visiting her grandma. That Sunday morning after Christmas, Haley was said to return back to her mom's place, where she would spend the rest of her Sunday hanging out. What we know is that sometime around 9 p.m. or so, Haley's 16-year-old brother David had left their mother Billie Jean's home to stay the night at a friend's house, being that there was no school the next day. So brother says bye to his little sister Haley. Who knows if he even really said bye, honestly. I would have been like, later loser, if it was my sibling. But this would actually end up being one of the last confirmed sightings of Haley that we know of. Evidence we have now suggests that Haley likely stayed up that Sunday night playing video games on their Xbox until about midnight. The next morning, which would have been Monday, December 27th, mom's boyfriend Sean was said to have an early morning shift for work. He worked about 30 minutes away at a place called WSI Cased Hole Specialists, and that was over in Snyder, Texas. He apparently clocked in by 6 a.m., meaning that he should have left at least by 5:30, according to Google Maps. Haley's mom, Billie Jean, was said to have left the home around 6:20, getting a ride from a friend. And she was scheduled for a 12-hour shift at a nearby hospital where she's working as a receptionist. Mom Billie Jean explains on this particular day that she checked on Haley in her bedroom and that she left her cell phone there for Haley because she would have been home alone all that day. And Billie Jean wanted Haley to have a way to call her if needed. Next, we have 16-year-old brother David is reporting coming back to his mom's home from his friend's house around 4 p.m. on that Monday. But he ran into a little problem when he found out that all the doors on the house were locked, which was apparently unusual for this family. Figuring at least that Haley was home, he knocked on the front door a few times, but nothing. So no big deal, he just crawls through a window and locks the door. We've all been there, but when he actually manages to get inside, to his surprise, he finds mom's boyfriend Sean inside. Equally hella surprised to see David crawling through the window. Well, that's kind of weird, right? Like, why the fuck aren't you answering the door, asshole? I mean, I guess maybe he was in the shower, but... From what mom Billie Jean said in an interview on Nancy Grace, the boyfriend Sean would actually have to go pick up Billie Jean from work that day at the hospital, so I'm guessing that was around 6 p.m. When they get back home, and David is the only one there, Sean apparently tells Billie Jean that Haley had left earlier that day saying that she was going to walk over to her dad's house and then go stay at her friend Mary Beth's that night. Now, from what I understand, there was no previous conversation with mom Billie Jean, at least, that Haley would be leaving the home, and she never called her mom at work that day, so Billie Jean said she was a little irritated, but not really worried. And apparently, she doesn't call over there to make sure that Haley made it. The next day, though, December 28th, which would have been a Tuesday, Billie Jean says she texted her son about getting a hold of Mary Beth to send Haley back home around noon. And that's when David calls Billie Jean back saying that Haley apparently never ended up at Mary Beth's place. I believe this is when David then goes over and quickly checks at their dad Clint's house just down the road. And this is actually how Clint learns that Haley might be missing because he hadn't seen her since Christmas Day. Next thing we know, the mom Billie Jean is officially reporting her 13-year-old Haley missing to the local police around 2 p.m. on that Tuesday, December 28th of 2010. The circumstances are initially treated as a possible runaway situation, from what I understand. News reports later would state that mom's boyfriend, Sean Adkins, who was the last person to have seen Haley leaving, and according to Sean, she was apparently leaving in a t-shirt, blue sweatpants, and white tennis shoes. The high temperature that day was reported to be just 53 degrees Fahrenheit, 12 degrees Celsius, with about 20 mile per hour winds that day. And her coat was found at home, meaning she didn't have the warmest of clothes on when she was said to have left. A quick search of Haley's room showed that she had left some cash she was saving up. She had left her new iPod that she had received for Christmas, and all the usual things that she would take with her to a sleepover, like her toothbrush, her contact case, that sort of stuff. All that stuff was still found in Haley's home. And police find that neither her father Clint or the friend Mary Beth had seen Haley on the day of the 27th. And the parents would later report that none of the neighbors had actually seen Haley on her walk to or from these places either. But Billie Jean says the opposite in her interviews with the media. She says Haley was seen that day. Police speak with both Sean and Billie Jean more about the evening before and after they last saw Haley. And Billie Jean allegedly admits to having an argument with Haley on the evening before the day she went missing. That would have been Sunday night. And also, according to a released affidavit, Billie Jean also allegedly admitted to police that her and Sean had apparently stopped by an ATM and withdrew some cash after he picked her up from work the day that Haley went missing. Billie Jean and Sean had apparently withdrew $60 in cash at 6:19 p.m. and then another $80 at 6:20 p.m. for a total of $140. And that was allegedly said to be for the purchase of illegal narcotics, according to the police, but were referred to as prescribed medications from Billie in a later interview. Billie Jean will consistently say that Haley was alive and sleeping in her bed on the morning of December 27th when she left for work. Interesting though, police also learn, according to mom's boyfriend Sean, that on the day Haley went missing, Sean tells police that he actually was fired from work that day. So instead of staying around work, obviously, he says he turned in his uniform type clothes, he left the building, and with nothing else to do, he went over to his mom's place in Big Spring and used her computer for a bit. Now, Big Spring is about an hour away from where his work location is. He claims he then went back to Billie Jean's house around 3 p.m., and that's when he saw Haley in passing as she was leaving to her father's and then to her friend's. So according to him, about 3:15 is when she left the home. And he apparently didn't tell Billie Jean that he was fired until after Haley was reported missing, which is pretty fucking sus if you ask me. But it's not a crime to get fired, I guess. But you can bet your ass police are going to go down to Sean's employers over at WSI and see what's up. In the meantime, local law enforcement, including Texas Rangers and eventually the FBI, get involved. Volunteer community members will begin to search the town and the surrounding county, which is like a lot of land to cover. Unfortunately, initial efforts find no sign of Haley. For those first few days of searching too, Mom Billie Jean's responsibility was apparently taking care of social media posts and hanging missing posters and speaking with the press, while Haley's father Clint went out and did the emotionally hard work of physically looking into nearby dumpsters and crawl spaces, literally looking for his daughter. The mom's boyfriend, Sean, apparently did nothing to contribute to the search efforts in any way, shape, or form, according to everyone involved. The dude's not even trying to look helpful at this point, I guess. A search of Billie Jean's home will then be executed, and while there, police report finding a box of literally hundreds of pages of printed articles about serial killers, mass murders, and family killings. Now, I read over the contents of these articles that they printed off, and I saw the toolbox killer in the list, and really, that's enough for me to understand, like, which kind of killers we're talking about. Because, you know, there's your regular killers, and then there's your really creepy, gross killers, okay? And they're literally looking at some of the worst of the worst people, in my opinion. Honestly, though, if the police searched my home right now, they will find hundreds of handwritten notes, not printed off notes, handwritten notes that I compiled for older episodes, so I can't say that's the worst thing they could have found. I don't think they had a podcast, though. But of course, the police are always bothered by this shit. Billie Jean will explain that her and Sean are really just avid true crime enthusiasts, just like the rest of us. Okay, fair enough, for now. According to an interview with the dad, Clint, 4 days after all this started, CPS came in and actually removed the children from the home, even though Haley was missing. But David was actually forced to go move in with an Uncle Roger, who was Billie's brother over in Snyder, Texas. And David has never talked to the police, according to Clint. So the information about David having to crawl through the window when all the doors were locked on the house was only told to police from Clint after hearing it from David. So at this point, it's just Billie Jean and Sean left in the house. And when police went and talked to Sean's old bosses over at WSI, they tell officers, no, he wasn't fired. We actually consider him to be a very good worker. However, that Monday morning, Sean came in at 6 a.m. as scheduled. He was seen walking into the break room. He bought a Dr. Pepper from a vending machine, sat there for a couple minutes, and then walked out, walked off the lot without saying anything to anyone. Literally just dipped the fuck out. His bosses do not know what the hell that was about. Okay, firstly, what kind of psychopath can crack open a Dr. Pepper at 6 in the fucking morning, but also, what the hell is that little inconsistency about? Why the hell would you lie about being fired? So most definitely, police are now going to be interested in Sean's cell phone pings for the day that Haley went missing, since this is getting a little weird. Police also apparently wanted to have a look at Sean's mom's computer, since he admitted to using it after he was, quote, fired the day that Haley went missing. So his mom, Christina's computer, was then seized and searched by police from her home in Big Spring. By Friday, December 31st, which would have been 3 days into the search for Haley, investigators will bring bloodhounds to the home, and they're said to have apparently tracked Haley's scent from her mom's all the way down to her dad's, all the way over to her friend's, then interestingly to a nearby motel called Western Suites off Interstate 20. However, after searching all 24 rooms and all the surveillance in the area, there was actually no evidence that Haley was in that motel or anywhere near it, apparently, so it was considered a dead end for now. The same day, though, would technically be New Year's Eve, and apparently later that night, Mom Billie Jean and boyfriend Sean were said to have held a New Year's Eve gathering at their home. Billie Jean denies this and clarifies that it was just a couple of extra family members that happened to be there because of the search for Haley. However, her dad, Clint, admits to watching over Billie Jean's place from his home, because it's just down the street, and he was using a pair of binoculars hoping to see Haley come back home. But instead, he claims to have seen a bunch of people carrying cases of beer inside Billie Jean's place. Which really pisses him off, because hello, how can anyone be putting down beer or celebrating anything when their 13-year-old daughter has been missing for 4 whole days in the middle of fucking winter? After the new year turned, on Sunday, January 2nd of 2011, a candlelight vigil was organized and held for Haley and was said to have over 700 people in attendance, which is a grip of people, honestly, for such a small town. That's amazing. There was also a $10,000 reward put up for any tips leading to the return of Haley. However, the next day, Monday, January 3rd, things continued to look more odd, and the investigation is transitioned over to a possible kidnapping, and Haley was officially named a missing person. Until that point, apparently, police had regarded it more as a runaway situation due to some of the more recent issues of possible domestic abuse that were uncovered between mom and boyfriend Sean from earlier in the year. See, police kind of already know Sean and Billie Jean because they call into the cops a lot. Listen to this series of calls from almost a year prior to Haley's disappearance when Billie Jean and Sean were said to be having some issues. It's pretty dramatic.
Calling City Police Department. Martha Spade, can I help you?
Hello, my name is Billie. I'm at work at Snyder.
Uh-huh.
And I'm calling because my boyfriend and I just broke up yesterday. But he's saying he's going to go into my house to get his T-shirt, and I don't want him in there while I'm gone because I don't know what he'll take.
Okay.
And I just don't trust him enough to go in there. Is there any way anybody can keep an eye over there?
Okay, Billy, what is your last name?
Burns, D-U-N-N.
And what is your address?
It's 1804 Chestnut Street.
And what is his name?
His name is Sean Atkins.
Sean Atkins?
Yes, A-D-K-I-N-S.
Okay, and he wants to go get his T-shirt?
Yeah, apparently he left his T-shirt over there when he spent the night one night.
Okay. Is that anything that belongs to him at that residence?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. I've done all the laundry and I think that's it. And he's wanting to go in there. He knows that I don't lock up, like, my windows. Sometimes I don't even lock the doors. And he knows that. So I'm kind of worried he could walk out with a TV or anything, my son's Xbox. Another thing, my 15-year-old son may be there also. He stayed with a friend last night, but he may be home by now. So I don't want him going over there causing problems with him either.
Who is your 15-year-old son?
David Dunn, and he doesn't have a phone. There's not a house phone. He doesn't have a cell phone.
Okay. What I can do is I can advise the officer now. They can't go and just stand there by y'all's house.
I know.
You know, but I will let him know.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
City Police,
I'm Jeremy speaking. Jeremy, I really need to file a report on somebody. I don't have a car to get down there.
Okay, where are you at?
I'm at 1804 Chestnut.
Hold on one second. What is your name?
Billy Dunn.
Billy Dunn? What exactly happened?
I broke up with this guy a couple of days ago, and he's a little in HMR, and he's telling me that he's going to kill me and my ex-husband, and that it's going to be remembered for a long time. He keeps on texting me, and I've texted back just to try to calm him down a little, but
what's going to happen. Okay, I'll send an officer over to 1804 Chestnut.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Is there any way I can see the officer
No, he'll be here Tuesday.
Okay, well, I got a situation on my hands. I have an ex-girlfriend and she said she was taking a whole bunch of fun of things, like a anxiety pill that I take. So I guess she got them from me, and she said she, like, took a bunch of her pain pills, too. And she's saying that she wants to die. She don't care about life and all the bullcrap, so I don't know what to do.
Okay, who are you?
Yeah, I'm her ex-boyfriend.
What is your name?
Sean Atkins. And right now, she's over at her mother's house, Connie Ostrander's. Knows where that house is.
Do you know the address?
All I know is she's, Top of 17. not real sure about my address, so I just barely moved here.
Okay.
It's in Big Spring, Texas. I know I live on Apache Drive in Big Spring, Texas.
Okay, that'll work.
Not real sure the house. We had a big blow up today, and one of the officers had to get involved in it.
In Big Spring?
Over the telephone. And so she called a report on me, you know, for threats and stuff like that, which was a report between her brother and myself. And now, I don't know, she was upset about it. She's just, you know, not being herself right now. I'm just really worried about it.
Okay. While I got you on the phone, Sean, is your date of birth 6/30/85?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do you know you got a warrant?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, let me get the officers over there and have them talk to Ms. Dunn and see what's going on, okay? And then we'll have one give you a call back.
Yes, you're the officer on duty.
Ma'am.
Got a lady at 1804 Chestnut who wants to file a report on her ex-husband because he's threatening to kill her.
Damn it. 1804 Chestnut.
Yeah, it's Billy Dunn.
Oh, God. He's been going all day. All right, I'll go up there.
Okay.
Caller, City Police Department, Jeremy speaking.
Your Mrs. Officer went over it. Sir. I've got a Billy Dunn that's living over there at 1806 Chestnut. We got a call here from her boyfriend saying that she's possibly suicidal, starting to take a bunch of pills, things like that. She's over the house, but she's supposed to stay out, which is her mom. Her mom is saying she's in over at her address there in C City.
Okay, we've been having a big problem with those two all day.
Okay.
And I'll let you in on a loop about this. She recently, I don't know if it's divorce or broke up, I thought they were married. So she recently divorced him, and earlier I had an officer go out to her location while I was on duty because she called in saying that he was threatening to physically harm her and or kill her. So the officer went out to that situation, took all the information from that call, and earlier before that we received a call from her saying she's been the complainant here because he's over in another area. He's complaining to other police departments.
Okay.
So you're saying that we need a welfare check on her because she's suicidal?
That's from what we understand.
Well, do you know where she's at?
1806 Chestnut is what we have.
It's 1804.
1804, okay.
And I'll give this information to my officer. What is your name?
Wynn, W-Y-N-N.
And you're an officer in the back?
Yes.
Okay, just verifying. Thank you much.
Thank you.
So, yeah, the police have a little bit of a history on this couple, and their actions are most definitely being noted with this history in mind. So the Colorado City Police report that they had requested to use an Amber Alert to notify the public of Haley's disappearance at least 3 times, but were not allowed to because her case apparently does not fit the criteria. They didn't have a suspect, they needed a description of a vehicle that she might be in, and a direction that she might have went in, and since they knew none of that, no Amber Alert was ever issued. Later that evening of January 3rd, Haley's mom, Billie Jean, would appear on Nancy Grace to help raise awareness about Haley's disappearance. I like that. And Billie Jean tells her story according to her perspective.
Joining me right now is Haley's mother. This is Billie Dunn joining us from Dunn, Texas. Ms. Dunn, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate your media attention.
Yes, ma'am. Number one. We are praying. Ms. Dunn, how far did she have to go to get to the little sleepover?
4 to 5 blocks. It wasn't rare for Haley to walk a short distance during daylight. She wasn't allowed out after dark, especially to walk, but she only had 4 to 5 blocks to go. She went missing on Monday while I was at work. My boyfriend, he came home from work about 3 o'clock, or he got to my house about 3 o'clock. He seen Haley. Haley was there. She told him, I'm running across the street to my dad's house for a few minutes, but I'm going to Mary Beth's and I'm staying the night there. Let my mom know. So that evening when he picked me up from work, when we got home, or getting ready for bed, I didn't get worried when I hadn't heard from Haley. I thought she was at Mary Beth's. I was kind of upset that she didn't call and confirm it with me, but not worried at that point. Tuesday, I was at work again. I left my cell phone at home for my kids to use while I'm working. So Tuesday, I called my son. I said, tell Haley, text the little girl, her friend, tell Haley she needs to go ahead and get home. This was around lunch. My son called me back within a few minutes and said, Mom, she said Haley never made it over there. She never spent the night. So at that point, I called Haley's dad and found out she didn't go over there and she didn't stay the night with him. I left from work.
Now, I'm not sure if you caught it or not, but literally just in the very first question that Nancy asks Billy, literally, she referred to Haley already in the past tense. Listen closely. It's a big red flag.
To walk a short distance during daylight. She wasn't allowed out after dark, especially to walk, but she only had 4 to 5 blocks to go.
She wasn't allowed. She wasn't or she isn't. Again, the next day, Nancy will talk about Haley's disappearance, and Nancy will ask Billie Jean and Clint for more clarification on the bloodhounds and the days surrounding Haley's disappearance, but there is still no sign of Haley at all. Billie Jean would continue to make appearances on Nancy Grace, the next informing everyone that her and Sean had officially agreed to take polygraph tests with the police. However, the police account of this agreement or discussion of the polygraphs is much, much different. Apparently, Billie Jean's test had to be stopped because police learned that she was under the influence of narcotics, while a second test reportedly indicated deception. She was given an opportunity to explain why she might have gotten those results, and when she couldn't, she apparently walked out after being in there for a total of 8 hours. So wait, Billie Jean admits to buying illegal narcotics to police, tells the media they weren't illegal, and then can't take her polygraph because she was found to be on illegal narcotics. Okay. Billie Jean explains her results for the polygraph test were due to stress. The boyfriend, Sean, apparently refused the first two offers to take a polygraph by the police, and then he agreed to the third and allegedly walked out during that third polygraph after just a few questions. But in those couple questions, he was found to have been truthful on some of those answers. They were reportedly, "Where can we find Haley?" His answer was, "Somewhere in Scurry County." And question number two was, "Who should we be looking at in this?" And his answer was, no fucking joke, "You should be looking at us," meaning the mom and him. And then he walked out, at least according to the affidavit. I will link the affidavit so you guys can read the shit for yourselves. After this test, I believe police asked Billie Jean to go in and ask Sean or confront Sean about his answers to the tests, and she did. And he didn't tell her anything, and this apparently bothered her enough to ask him to leave her home. So she indicated that they broke up over him failing the polygraph test. Also, later that day, Sean's mom would be requesting that her computer comes back from the police department too. I personally wonder if that had something to do with getting kicked out of his girlfriend's home. On Friday, January 7th, search warrants would then begin to get processed for Billie Jean's car and the cell phone records for Sean at least, because Billie Jean apparently released hers over to the police immediately. The boyfriend Sean's cell phone records will indicate that he actually lied during initial statements to police. He claimed he went to his mom's place in Big Springs after he was fired that day, but it turns out he actually left his workplace and returned back to Billie Jean's home in Colorado City, where Haley would have been home alone, not over to Big Springs where his mother lives to use her computer. This dumbass even made a couple of cell phone calls between 6:36 a.m. and 6:56 a.m. that place him directly in Colorado City near the same tower that Billie Jean's phone was pinging off of. So this actually means that from 6:30 to about 9 a.m., Haley and Sean would have been the only ones inside that home, because he did eventually go over to his mother's place, but that wasn't until about 9 a.m., according to his cell phone records. When he gets to his mom's house, he will make 11 phone calls between 9 a.m. and 2:40. Now, I do not know who those phone calls were made to, but I really wish I did. A search of the car that Billie Jean and Sean were said to have shared was also taken into custody, where police had retrieved 3 rolls of black electric tape, miscellaneous papers, and a purple plastic lighter from the car. I'm guessing it was one of those cheapo kinds of lighters. And this car was also said to be a white Chevy Lumina. Now, it's Billie Jean's car, I believe, and they share it. And I think most days, Sean would give Billie Jean a ride to work, except for that one day. A second search of the home was also executed, where police were said to have seized all the media within the home, like all the discs, all the videotapes, all the DVDs, the Xbox, thumb drives, and all the cell phones in the home. The search warrant affidavit was then released, and police had apparently heard from someone in Haley's family that Sean had said something pretty freaking creepy to Haley's uncle Roger in the early days of Haley's disappearance. The affidavit reads that the maternal uncle mentioned how he couldn't believe someone would hurt a 13-year-old child, and that's when mom's boyfriend Sean replied, "Yeah, it's like killing a deer." Which, aw, I hope he means that's like heartless or something. But then another uncle of Haley's mentioned to police that, oh yeah, Sean often talks about how he kills deer and cuts them up with chainsaws. Oh, okay. So I don't think he meant it so nicely. These uncles also mentioned that Sean seemed to be obsessed with those stereotypical slasher type horror films like Scream and Friday the 13th and all that shit. But then again, I am a big fan of slasher movies too, and that doesn't make me a killer, I guess. But with all that info out in the open, I believe 2 weeks into the daughter's disappearance, Billie Jean will hold a private interview with some local media responding to information that was released in the search warrant. She'll defend her tasted boobies. She'll also defend her accusations of buying drugs on the day that her daughter went missing. She defends the New Year's Eve party rumors. But reporters also asked Billie Jean about her thoughts on what Sean had allegedly told investigators about 13-year-old Haley being sexually active, promiscuous, and using drugs, which appears to catch Billie Jean off guard. Apparently, everybody in Colorado City had nothing but nice things to say about Haley, except for the mom's boyfriend. He said that she was promiscuous and using drugs. A 13-year-old who plays first chair saxophone. Later that day, Sean would be officially named a person of interest in the disappearance of Haley Dunn. Thank God. Some outlets were reporting that the landfill in Abilene, Texas was also being searched at the same time that the announcement was made that Sean was a suspect. But I believe that search of the landfill returned nothing. Haley's grandma, Connie, would end up telling ABC News that, quote, "Haley did not like Sean. She was afraid of him and didn't want him there. She told me on a couple occasions that he walked around at night and that she could see his shadow standing by her doorway. She told her grandmother that she was afraid that he would come into her room." That same grandma would also join Billie Jean in another appearance on Nancy Grace, spilling that same family tea. All Billie Jean asks is why no one ever told her that information. Apparently, Haley didn't express to Billie Jean that Sean freaked her out, or so Billie Jean says. So I don't know what to believe at this point, but I do know that I am extremely suspect of this Sean dude. Obviously, Nancy Grace gets the same vibes, and she managed to pull up these older photos of Sean and Billie Jean during the last few Halloweens with them all dressed up creepy, and suddenly there's all these pictures of Sean looking like the 10th member of Slipknot posted all over the news. Mark Klass, father of Polly Klass, who was actually kidnapped from her home and later found murdered in Texas in 1993, he would come out to Colorado City to help Billie Jean and the rest of the family with their search for Haley. Billboards would eventually be put up all over Texas with Haley's latest cheerleading picture and a reward that had now reached $15,500. So far, no local searches have turned up any physical evidence of Haley's whereabouts. Mark Klass also convinced Billie Jean to get back out there and meet with the searchers and continue to talk to the media about her daughter. Sheriffs report that leads had slowed down by that point, but they promised that their searches would continue. Those search volunteers out there looking for Haley were eventually referred to as Haley's Angels as the time passed. There was also a prayer vigil held down at the local church to put some positive vibes back into the community. By January 31st, Haley's mom had made a complete statement to reporters while standing in front of her home, going over everything she could remember about the days surrounding Haley's disappearance, and she read them from handwritten notes that she had made, standing in front of her home, explaining that she didn't want to forget to say anything.
statement of everything that went on the day before, the day Haley cared, and the day after. Just everything I could remember. I want to thank everyone for coming this afternoon and giving me an opportunity to make a statement. First, I want to speak directly to Haley in case she's listening. Wherever you are, Haley, I'm looking for you. Hundreds of people are looking for you. We all want you home safe. To see and touch your beautiful face. I really love you. I desperately need you home. And there's not a minute goes by and I'm not praying for you or crying wishing you were in my living room. I can't handle not knowing where you are or if you're safe. You're the most beautiful girl I've ever laid my eyes on, and I'm very proud that God chose me to be your mother. Next, I want to say if someone out there has Haley, please let her go. Just turn her loose, drop her off at a church, a school, a police station, anywhere that she can get to a phone and call police or call her family. Even if anyone has any information on Haley's whereabouts, where she might be, please call the police. Even if they think the information is not relevant or too small to worry about or that it's already been reported, please call it in anyway. Any information you might have may tie something together or make something click for investigators. Someone out there knows where Haley is or knows something that can help find her. I feel like I need to go over the day surrounding Haley's disappearance again for several reasons. Many people who are not close to the case seem to be confused because there are so many conflicting accounts of what actually happened. After watching many of the interviews, I'm beginning to see why myself. I have yet to see an entire interview aired or printed. They're cut or pasted, edited for time and space, and often I'm not quoted in correct context. My words are sometimes picked apart and twisted around in such a way that I don't even recognize them. I've been flat out called a liar by some people. Others speculate on my possible involvement in Haley's disappearance or wonder if I'm covering up for somebody. Some people accuse me of withholding information and not cooperating with law enforcement. These things are not true, but I now feel that I have to defend myself from ridiculous accusations, slander, or defamation of character. That said, I want to start out by saying that there was no blowout on Christmas. There were no arguments or disagreements. Everyone was getting along fine, and everyone pretty much got exactly what they asked for. On Sunday, December 26th, Haley returned home around noon after spending the night with Clint. I cooked a small Christmas dinner for the four of us, and we ate around 2. After dinner, we all just relaxed and hung out. It was just a nice, quiet, enjoyable, lazy day. Later in that evening, around 8 or 9, David left to spend the night with a friend. That's where some of the inconsistencies with family comes along. David says he left at 9 o'clock at night. I was saying he left at 6 or 7. That's the inconsistencies. Sean and I were watching TV in our bedroom. Haley was playing the Xbox game in David's bedroom. Around 10 o'clock, I saw that Haley was in her room watching TV. I told her goodnight and I went to bed. On Monday, December 27th, Sean left the house at 5:30. My alarm was going off around the time he was told me by it. I got up and got ready for work. I usually leave the house by 6:20. When my ride didn't show up, I called her to see what was keeping her. Peeked in at Haley because I'm used to seeing her sleep on the couch. She wasn't there. I remembered, oh yeah, she's in her room. I peeked in and it was dark, but her TV was on, and it definitely pacified me. I didn't touch her, but I seen my daughter and felt good. Came in the living room to wait on my ride. I left the house around 6:30 and got to work about 7. Sean called me while I was at work that afternoon. I asked him about the kids. He told me that David wasn't home yet and that Haley had left to go to Clint's and then was going to a friend's to spend the night. Normally I work 7 to 7, but I left work early that Monday. We had a staff meeting and the person that was usually there to relieve me was at the meeting and offered to cover the rest of my shift since she was already there. I called Sean to make sure he would be there to pick me up. We left the hospital about 6:15. We stopped by the ATM close to the hospital to get some money out because I was running short on cash. Then we went by my mom's house to check on her, see if she needed anything. Sean and I still got back to Colorado City about 7:30 that evening, and we were probably in bed by 9. David came in to say goodnight soon after. I was kind of upset that Haley hadn't called me and confirmed that Sean did let me know she was staying the night with her friend, but I wasn't worried about her. I went to bed. Tuesday morning on the 28th, Sean and I both got up around 5:30. We left the house together around 6:20 to go to work. It's not unusual for Sean to take me to work. He always has to be there by 7. Sometimes he had to go in earlier, but he was always told the night before, and I would arrange to get him on a ride on those days. He dropped me off at the hospital at 7, around noon. I called David on my cell phone that I had left at home. He told me Haley wasn't home yet, so I asked him to text her friend, see if Haley was there, and told her to go ahead and come home. He called me back within a few minutes to say that Haley hadn't been there and hadn't stayed the night there. I then told him to walk over to Clint's, check with him. Clint's phone was broke. So he walked over there and called me back, told me that Naomi said Haley had been over there for a minute on Monday, but didn't stay the night. I told David to give the phone to Clint. After telling Clint how worried I was, I told him I was going to get a ride home and report Haley missing to police. I asked him to call the PD and let him know that I was coming. He agreed to make the call, but for some reason he never did. My sister-in-law gave me a ride home from Snyder to Colorado City. I stopped at the house first to make sure Haley hadn't come back home. Grabbed my cell phone, started texting Haley's friends, while my sister-in-law took me around to a couple of their houses before going to the police station. I got home from the police station around 3. Sean called me on my cell and talked to David, who told him what all was going on. So Sean left and got to the house around 4 o'clock with me and David. Officer Alexander arrived shortly after to take a more detailed report from me. I've just told you everything I know firsthand. The rest I learned later, either from David or Sean.
So that is only half the interview. The quality is so bad that I don't want to keep going. There's a couple details in there that differ from what the other media outlets were reporting, but most of her statements aligned with her original claims. She even cleared up some of the timeline gaps with the statement too. Finally, though, on February 8th, literally over 40 days into the search, the ex-boyfriend Sean will give a statement to the media. I couldn't wait to hear what this guy had to say, honestly. He was wearing sunglasses at the time of his interview, and overall, he seems pretty calm, honestly.
Yes, that morning I drove to work, I quit my job, I turned in my belongings, and I didn't speak to nobody at work. And I left work, I stopped by this residence, nobody was here.
Wait, what was that?
Nobody was here.
She wasn't there at 7 in the morning? What?
Nobody was here. So I continued going towards Sea City, and I got on I-20, and I went to Big Spring to my mother's house, and I made calls on my cell phone to my mom, letting her know that I quit my job and everything. And I got to my mom's house that day, and I got on the internet looking up unemployment to see if I could get, you know, an unemployment check till I could get back on my feet and everything. And that was my day. And then I came home around, I guess, like 3 o'clock I got there. And Haley was there watching TV in the living room. And I went to me and Billy's bedroom, and she came in there and told me that she was going to her father's house and that she was staying the night with a friend. And then she left. And then I was there by myself for maybe an hour at the most, and then David and a friend came over, and they went to his room, and they were playing video games and so forth. And Billy called me and told me that that her relief got there and that she's going to get to leave a little early, so I was up there at the hospital in Snyder around 6 o'clock to pick her up, and then we came back. And then we went to bed shortly after that.
And this whole time you were thinking Haley was at a friend's house?
Yes.
About what time did she say she was leaving?
I guess it was sometime in between 3 and 3:30 when she said she was leaving. It was like shortly after I got there. I'm not real sure about a time.
Does she normally call and check in every so often, or is it normal to not hear from her for so long?
It's pretty normal for her just to not call, because she usually does that, though, because she does stay the night at a friend's house. She'll be back the next morning. That's very kind of her. And if she goes over to her dad's, then, you know, she usually won't call either, because she's just right across the street. Auburn where Billy lives.
Now, you just said right now that you quit your job, but originally you had said that you got in a fight with your boss and was fired from your job.
No, that was untrue, too. I told investigators I quit my job, but I told Billy that I got fired because I didn't want her knowing that I quit my job. I was trying to keep it from her, but, you know, investigators found out that I didn't get fired because Billy had told them that originally, and then they brought that up to me. I was like, yeah, I quit my job for reasons, and I just didn't tell Billy for fear of it cause a big fight, and I didn't want to run the peace that's been happening over the past 6 months. I just wanted to keep the peace, try to find another job, and then let her know.
So also, according to the affidavits, you had originally said that when you quit your job, you went straight to Big Springs. But then there were cell phone actual pings in Colorado City.
The investigators asked me. They never asked which specific places I went. They go, where did you go Monday when Haley supposedly disappeared? And I told them I went to Big Spring and that's where I was at. They didn't ask which way did you go to your mom's house or anything like that. They just asked where I was so they could verify that. So, that's...
So, you're saying that affidavits, majority of what we read in there is completely incorrect?
Yes. And there was another thing in affidavits that I deleted messages or phone calls off my phone. That was incorrect, too. That never happened.
So, have you... I mean, even Billy has told me that you are not cooperating with the police. If you have nothing to hide, if there isn't anything there, why aren't you cooperating with them?
I cooperated with them at first, and then I just feel like I couldn't trust the police anymore. And that's when I decided to get a lawyer, and my lawyer told me just to lay low, keep quiet. That's what I did. And then today I'm supposed to talk to somebody from Colorado City, a law enforcement officer. I'm supposed to talk to FBI today just to clear up some more things.
Understandable if your lawyer tells you that's obviously what you're going to do, but coming from just the point of a normal person, we're all out here looking for Haley. We all want the same thing. So if there's anything that you could do to help them or to help with the investigation, why wouldn't you do it?
I felt that I gave them all the information I had, and which I really did. And like I said, I just felt like it was a witch hunt at the time, and they were just trying to pin it on somebody, which was me. And I didn't want that happening, so I just stopped talking to them.
I know that a lot of people have said, even on Nancy Grace, that this whole time stories keep changing. It goes from one thing to another to another. The affidavits show that stories have changed. And what do you say about that? Has your story changed at all?
If it has, it was because I remembered something, and I let the investigators know. But that's how they say my story has changed, and that's how it changed, because there's been some things that I didn't remember to tell them at the time, and later I did remember, and then I told them. That's how my story could have changed, but no, my story hasn't changed other than that.
Now, again, you say your relationship with Haley was completely fine, but yet when... We know that you had, in the affidavit, said something about Clint's uncle said, who could ever hurt a little girl? You said something to the effect of, yeah, it's like killing a baby deer. Mm-hmm. And according to those affidavits and the uncle, you do also talk about killing baby deers all the time.
No, that's incorrect, too. I had a talk with that uncle, and he said he never said that either. And I never said that. I love animals. I wouldn't hurt animals either.
So basically, it seems like everything that you're saying completely contradicts the affidavit. So everything that the police used to obtain a warrant to build their case is completely inaccurate?
Absolutely. It is. Because like I said, I've sat down and looked at that affidavit, and a lot of things are incorrect. Some of it is, but a lot of it isn't.
If it's incorrect, how were they able to obtain their warrants?
I have no clue. I really don't.
Now, all signs are kind of pointing to you right now. Mm-hmm. What do you say about that?
I'm just going to do my best to get the focus back on Haley and off of me. And, you know, like I said, I have nothing to hide. I was just advised by my lawyers to do what I've been doing, and you know, now I'm going to talk and get everything cleared up about me so they can get back to looking for Haley.
Sean, do you know anything about Haley's disappearance?
No, I don't.
And could you or did you hurt Haley in any way?
No, I didn't.
And would people say that that's something that you would do and that it's in your mind frame to do that kind of thing? What do you say to that?
I'm just thinking that people want somebody to blame and they're going to blame me.
Well, can you see why people would point the finger at you?
I can have an idea, but I just think it's unfair. Because this could happen to anybody, what's happening to me. And how would they feel if they're in my shoes? That's just how I feel.
What do you really want people to know?
That I'm not a monster like a lot of people made me out to be. I'm just a regular guy. And I love my girlfriend. I love Haley and David. I would never do anything to hurt her, nor him, nor anybody. And I just want all of this to be over with and Haley home so we can go on with our lives.
Now, last question, and I'm just kind of going to ask again. If you knew anything about Haley's disappearance and you are not telling police to find Haley, would you come forward and give them the information?
Yes, I would. If I had any knowledge of her whereabouts, I would definitely come forward and tell them.
Okay, then. So everyone's full of shit but Sean. Okay. We all know a fucking Sean, but that's only until February 24th. Then we don't know her anymore, because on February 24th, it was reported per affidavit from police that they found over 109,000 digital images discovered in total between several of the electronic devices from Billie Jean and items from Sean's mother's home. These images apparently consisted of alleged child pornography, bestiality, and, quote, other deviant acts. Almost 110,000 images in total. That's not like one or two accidental young girls who said they were 18. I'm guessing that's 110,000 images that police find incriminating and might possibly be something pertaining to the case. So this was a big fucking deal. 2 days after the affidavit's release, the local news went back over to Billie Jean for her statement on the release of this information, and she pretty much denies any and all knowledge of it.
Got affidavits released about the computer and everything, the memory stick and everything that was confiscated. And apparently, according to the affidavits, there was a bunch of pornographic stuff and deviant acts. What can you tell us about that?
I hadn't seen any of it, and I hadn't got to talk to investigators yet to find out what it is. The computer wasn't here. The memory stick was brought over here. But I had never used either of them or looked at either of them, so I don't know what was on it.
The memory stick was brought over by who?
Sean.
So, is it Sean's stuff, or where is this coming from?
Well, the computer's not his. That memory stick was. And I don't know what was found on just that.
And according to Sheriff Toombs, he says there is child porn on there and bestiality.
And I don't know anything about it. I don't have any facts yet or haven't got to talk to anybody yet. I heard the story come out this morning.
And so you don't know anything that was on there?
So, no, I'm waiting for answers.
And would it surprise you if there was child porn on there?
Yeah.
Why?
You just don't want to be associated with that stuff or anybody who could have. I don't know how it would have got on there, or I don't know what it is. So
that kind of thing is not a typical nature for you or Sean?
No.
And whose computer is it?
I guess the one they took out of his mom's house. And again, I don't know what all is on that computer or who all has been on it either.
And so, does this come as a shock to you, or how do you really feel about the findings?
It's definitely a shock, and I think I just need a lot of answers and a lot of things cleared up.
And to clear that up, are you going to ask Sean about it, or are you going to go to the police? What are you going to do?
I've talked to him about it a little bit. I'll talk to Sean about it more and probably talk to one of the investigators.
Anybody talk to Sean a little bit about it? What does he say?
That, of course, he didn't put anything like that on there.
And so, like I said, there was all kinds of weird stuff. Well, I shouldn't say weird. There's interesting stuff on there. Do you think that that could pertain to the case at all?
No.
And the findings on there, would you say those are completely out of character for Sean, and why or why not?
It's definitely out of character for him. I've known him for a while, and I've never known him to be into anything like that, or we wouldn't have a relationship.
So, overall, I mean, just from what you've heard from the articles, from that kind of thing, what are you feeling on everything?
It's a lot to take in, and like I said, I still hadn't got to talk to investigators about it, and I just need to find some truth and see what's really going on. I just don't know enough about it yet.
And you said you are going to talk to Sean a little bit more about it. What are you going to ask him?
I don't know. I know he's told me he hadn't put anything like that on that memory stick.
And if it's not coming from him, where could it be coming from?
I don't know.
So, I mean, the computer was found at his mom's house. They obviously don't want to say anything bad about anybody, but just kind of wondering where it would come from. I mean, is that something typical for them, or I mean, I'm just kind of trying to see where it's coming from.
No, I don't think it's typical for anybody I know. No.
Do you think these findings could possibly bring us any closer to Haley or what happened?
No, I still don't think it has anything to do with Haley.
And so you are pretty certain that the child porn, the bestiality, that stuff has nothing to do with Sean?
Yes.
And why are you so confident on that?
Just because I know him well.
And he's not that type of person?
Right.
Tell me just a little bit, what type of person is he?
He's nice, he's kind, he's caring. So I've certainly never seen anything like that in him.
So to have these accusations, even with just the child porn, that's got to be a lot to take in. I mean, how do you feel overall about that?
Just pretty upset about it. Like I said, I've just got to talk to people and get things cleared up.
Is there anything else you want to say about the investigation, about the latest findings, anything at all?
No, and there still hadn't been anything new with the investigation.
And now these findings, it was a memory card that was found in your guys' bedroom, right?
Yes.
And so, you don't want to get into personal business, anything like that, but I mean, is that something common for you guys, or is it a complete shock to you?
I don't know what was on that one personally. I don't know what was on just that alone, what was on the computer. I don't have any answers yet.
And so, needless to say, it's surprising to you?
Yeah.
Tell me just a little bit about that, how, you know, you have no idea where it came from and how much of a surprise it is to you.
Well, I just got a call from Nancy Grace's show this morning wanting to talk to me about it, and I had to tell them the same thing. I had no clue about it. I called one of the law enforcement, and they said they would be able to talk with me later on.
So at this point, there's just really nothing?
Right.
Can you tell me just how surprising it is and how out of character for both of you it is?
Of course, it's just very out of character, and no, I had no idea. I still don't know what was found just on the memory stick, so I really can't say how I feel about that.
Can you tell me just how shocking it is to kind of have these accusations even out there?
It's just really upsetting.
Okay. I'm sorry, but if the dude was already found to be lying about the way he got fired, lied about being at his mom's house, my 13-year-old daughter coincidentally goes missing in that very specific time frame, to which his answers on a polygraph are very fucking weird. Then police tell me they find over 100,000 disgusting images saved on our Xbox, some thumb drives, and his mom's computer that he had admitted to using, and you don't think to consider, even for one fucking second, that you might not really know this man? Come on. I mean, if I wasn't suspicious of this guy before, I would most definitely be telling the police everything I got on this perv, because these are some pretty big fucking red flags. However, I have yet to see him be charged with anything in regards to these child porn allegations. It was literally just reported in affidavits and then nothing else, which is interesting. On February 27th, now 2 months after Haley's gone missing, her father Clint will actually travel over to Mansfield, Texas, that's just outside of Dallas, and he begins speaking on the very real issue of human sex trafficking. And this was all the way back in 2011. It's 10 years later, and we know sex trafficking exists and that it exists everywhere. Being that Colorado City is located off some major trucking routes, it's not really out of the realm of possibility to consider that Haley was a victim of trafficking, especially that there was no sign of her really being dead just yet. So Clint is actually still out there doing the hard work, doing what he can to keep his daughter's face out in public, and physically talking to people, which is really what I like to see. A couple weeks later, and out of nowhere, Haley's mom, Billie Jean, was reportedly arrested on March 17th, 2011, for charges of misdemeanor, hindering prosecution, possession of a dangerous drug, and giving a false report to police. This was after their county, Mitchell County Police, had found that she apparently lied about Sean being at her home. Apparently, in the days prior, police had shown up to her place looking for Sean, and Billie answered the door and said he wasn't there. Police then pulled out another search warrant and proceeded inside to find that she was in fact lying about Sean being there. Interestingly too, she was the only one arrested because she was the one that lied to police, while they also made sure to charge her with possession for the illegal narcotics that she denied having in earlier interviews. So now it's looking like the police have the impression that Billie Jean is protecting Sean for some reason. Because they knew when they went there, they were going to find Sean. I think Billie Jean probably told Sean to kick rocks just for a couple days, and then they got back together. Mainly because he was looking so bad in the media, and she didn't want to get dragged down with him. The fact that you could lie for someone who might have hurt your daughter is almost everything I need to know, honestly. She was also released a few days later after posting bail, while yet another search warrant was reportedly served at Sean's grandmother's house, too. Can you imagine the police coming to your grandma's house to look at her computer to see if you stored more porn there? After she was released, Billie Jean then went out and filed a criminal trespassing order against Sean, claiming that she found out so much more information about Sean while being in jail and during her interrogations that she now, just now, believes Sean might have had something to do with her daughter's disappearance. She was told by investigators that there were threatening messages found on Sean's phone pertaining to Billie Jean, so she went out and requested that he couldn't come around her home for an entire year because now she fears for her own safety. Now 4 months into her disappearance, there were still small-scale searches being done for Haley. However, they had heavily dwindled in size after the news reported Billie Jean's arrest, and I think the community sort of started getting discouraged because of all these rumors going around and the creepy ex-boyfriend. Haley's dad, Clint, was still pushing for Haley's picture and missing persons flyers to be posted throughout the state and even into others just in case someone out there knew something that could bring Haley home. By June, Billie Jean would end up pleading no contest to the charges of providing a false report to law enforcement. She luckily received a suspended sentence of 90 days in county with probation, so if she fucked up now, she would have to go back and spend 90 days in jail. So she's gonna stay on her shit. By August 28th, which would have been Haley's 14th birthday, and there's still literally no sign of her and nothing found yet, her day was honored by another local candlelight vigil that was held at a nearby mall, where the community again would come out and pray for her safe return. By October, the FBI had officially categorized Haley's disappearance as a kidnapping. They were also offering up $15,000 for information leading to an arrest. It had been 10 months since the investigation started, and authorities weren't really any closer to finding her than the day they'd started. In November of 2011, not even a full year after Haley went missing, the Daily Mail reported that Haley's mom, Billie Jean, had reportedly moved over 4 hours away to Austin, Texas, possibly with the on-and-off-again ex-boyfriend, Sean. Now, I fucking hate this when people move during the middle of an investigation. Like, why? It's never a good look. I mean, if you're moving to escape the media, wouldn't moving make you look even more suspicious? I think so. Let's say Haley was being trafficked, and she somehow manages to break free and get back home. Well, how the fuck is she gonna find her mom in a city that's over 4 hours away? Like, there's parents that don't touch their children's bedrooms for years, and Billie Jean moved 4 hours away. Does she know that Haley isn't coming back? According to the grandmother, too, both ex-boyfriend Sean and mom Billie had changed their phone numbers after leaving town, which was making it even harder to keep the community really interested in looking for Haley, and leaving just grandma and dad there to keep the hope alive. So I'm also not super keen on the mom at this point. 4 months later, interest in the case was then again re-sparked when someone came across human remains within a garbage bag. These remains were found very close, like within 2 miles of the home that Sean's mother lived in. And for a couple days, there was a lot of speculation on it possibly being that of Haley's remains. However, it was pretty quickly determined to be that of a male skeleton. However, another 5 months would go by without anything found, and a second birthday vigil was held on August 25th of 2012, meant to remind the community that Haley would now be 15 and was still out there somewhere, and still very wanted back at home with her family, especially her dad. Shortly after this second birthday vigil, a random-ass woman is now coming out and claiming that she all of a sudden knows what happened to Haley Dunn. This woman's name was Sonia, and she had apparently written a letter to investigators that she saw Haley Dunn being held in an Odessa, Texas home over a drug debt. She claimed that Haley was drugged and held as collateral, and when she eventually overdosed, her body was ditched behind a nearby Ector County Coliseum. A search of that area didn't return anything of interest, but people, of course, wanted to know more about the Sonia person. So her sister starts calling into the media and alleging that her sister had previously worked for law enforcement as an informant for over 10 years. But the local police would not come out and confirm or deny this. So I don't know. If they didn't find anything, what else can they really do? We always know that high-value rewards bring out the weirdos. But similar theories will continue to circulate around Haley's disappearance for years, actually. In December of 2012, I believe the donated money that was made up of the $10,000 reward that was going to be given for tips to Haley's return had been given back to its original owners, being that the town of Colorado City apparently felt that the chances of finding Haley at this point were slim to none. But wouldn't you know it, because literally 3 months after that, in March of 2013, another set of remains were discovered, this time near a Lake J.B. Thomas, which is also located in Scurry County, Texas. A man named Curtis Lloyd was said to have found part of a skull, a human femur, and a single tooth, along with remnants of blue sweatpants. The identity would eventually be confirmed to be that of 13-year-old Haley, and was only truly confirmed, though, by the use of her dental records, apparently. This man that found her bones later did an interview with the local news where he said he did have a feeling that it was Haley because he remembered what she was reported to be wearing when she was last seen, and he saw the blue sweatpants. But if you remember, Scurry County is exactly the area in which Sean had allegedly told police that they should be looking for Haley during his polygraph test back in 2011. And apparently Sean's cell phone was also found to have pinged in the same area that Haley's remains were found. So police would probably be interested in speaking with Sean, you would think. But the media seemed to only be able to get a hold of Billie Jean, who now seemed like she was finally not going to protect this ex-boyfriend of hers anymore. She admits to reporters that Sean hadn't been able to produce his work clothes from the day that he apparently quit or got fired or whatever from his job. And she claims that he acted very differently towards her in the weeks following Haley's disappearance. On May 19th of 2013, an unofficial memorial was held at the Colorado Middle School where Haley had previously attended. There was a reported over 350 people that came out to show their respect for the family's loss now that everyone knew for sure that Haley would never be coming back to school. At this point, because of the location that her body was found in, the Scurry County authorities would apparently now be in charge of the case, and the FBI is no longer said to be handling it. Haley's remains were also said to be withheld so that they could continue to figure out who might have killed her, but Billie Jean would end up getting upset that she couldn't have them back after a while. Her remains were said to have been sent up to be kept in an evidence locker at the University of North Texas Science Center for the time being. And they apparently sat there in the evidence locker for almost 3 years before Haley's remains were eventually released back to her mother in January of 2017. Billie Jean would have Haley officially laid to rest in the Luling City Cemetery just outside of the city of Austin, Texas. So we have her body, and we have a pretty interesting prime suspect that happened to be correct in the guess that Haley's remains would be found exactly where they were. Like, what else do we need to do to get some justice for this girl, right? Why has there been no charges, no arrests, nothing? In 2018, Sheriff Patrick Toombs explained that because Haley's remains were found in a neighboring county, they were forced to send all their files on the investigation from Mitchell County, where she lived, over to the Scurry County Sheriff's Office. The district attorney over there, Ben Smith, had previously said that the case was still active and would not be forgotten, but nothing really seems to be happening here. It's almost been 3 years since that statement, and nothing has changed, except for the fact that the house Haley might have been murdered in has since been demolished, leaving literally no chance for investigators to go back and possibly find something relative to the case. Mom has moved on, suspect number one has moved on, and it's now been 10 years without justice for Haley. And her dad, Clint, was fucking tired of it. He was told by Mitchell County investigators that they pretty much just needed the body to make an arrest. But that apparently wasn't true, and communication with Clint has come to a virtual halt, apparently. He had been told by law enforcement that their hands are tied because of the jurisdiction limitations within this investigation. Haley's father, Clint, personally believes there's enough evidence, at the very least, to press charges, but seems to have countered some giant invisible wall when it comes to the two counties working together to make an arrest. I think luckily, though, Clint's frustration and loss actually inspired this one woman, this badass bitch named Erica Morris, to help him solve the case because he didn't seem to be getting help from anyone else anymore. This woman, Erica Morris, she actually went out and got her whole ass private investigator's license just to help Clint solve his daughter's murder. And like, that is some fucking dedication right there. You guys, we stan a dedicated father. This is what I like to see. This private eye was interestingly able to find out that ex-boyfriend Sean did a little relocating after Haley's disappearance. He was obviously found to have lived in Austin, Texas, likely with Billie Jean when she had moved there. But then he apparently moved over to Levington, New Mexico during a period from 2012 to 2013. During that time, Sean Casey Atkins was found to be working at an Alco convenience store, where he was described again as having a reputation for allegedly hitting on the younger looking girls. Ew. He was also found to be using social media to talk with underage girls, some of whom were able to confirm by sending this private investigator more recent photos of Sean that he had been sending to these girls. He had also decided to start going by his middle name, Casey, rather than Sean. After finding what Sean/Casey had been doing the last few years, the next move for Clint and Erica was to pull off a social media blitz that would hopefully reignite the interest back in Haley's story. Clint and Erica both went out and made a huge online presence and gave multiple interviews updating everyone about the circumstances of the case. During one of those interviews in 2018 with the dad, Clint, he said that the FBI had told him that the Kinect on Haley's brother's Xbox had actually taken a picture of Haley around 11 p.m. the night before she went missing. This would technically be the last photo ever taken of Haley that we know of. Clint also gave a little more context to the dynamics between him and mom's ex-boyfriend, Sean. Clint and Sean had actually thrown hands at one time in the front yard of Clint's home sometime back in 2010. When Sean apparently showed up looking for a fight out of nowhere, Clint sort of fears that Sean harbors embarrassment and anger over getting rolled up in the front yard, and that it might have actually encouraged Sean to have hurt Haley in the same way. Clint also came out about his suspicions of Billie Jean's possible involvement within Haley's murder. He explained that he had went over to Billie Jean's home several times in the days after Haley went missing, mainly to be interviewed by the Nancy Grace show they were shooting in Billie Jean's living room. And looking back at that time, he remembers feeling like the home smelled super heavily of laundry detergent, which really bothers him because after spending 14 years with Billie Jean, he never remembered her using such strong-smelling detergent. But more interestingly, Billie Jean had also apparently bought some new living room furniture that week and even repainted the entire living room in that week after Haley's disappearance. He also claims that Billie Jean was then donated a bunch of money that she allegedly used to go out and buy a new television with, but then they had to turn around and have Sean pawn off that television to help bail Billie Jean out of jail when she lied to police about him being at her home. And that's not even really the spiciest shit. Clint also alleges that since his social media blitz began, the so-called friend who supposedly gave Billie Jean a ride to work that day that Haley went missing has since called him and admitted that she actually did not give Billie Jean a ride to work that day. Spicy shit. Lastly, according to Clint, just 3 days after Haley went missing, Billie Jean allegedly went over to one of their mutual friends' homes and asked a female friend to hide some Wiccan slash witchcraft book for her and to not say anything about it to anybody. Well, Clint says that the husband of that female friend then came to Clint with this information, seeing as it's pretty weird. When Clint found out this information, he called the FBI right away and let them know. And that was within 3 days of the investigation starting. So they know this stuff already. During an interview specifically with private investigator Erica Morse in January 2019, she let it out that she apparently believes that the man who found Haley's remains was coincidentally working as a prison guard and might possibly have been tipped off from someone in the prison about where he could find Haley. Apparently, thousands of people had searched the exact same area that Haley was found in, but they had found nothing. Then all of a sudden, this man claiming to be out looking for arrowheads and happens to work at a prison just happens to stumble upon these highly valuable remains. Erica Morris didn't think it was such a coincidence, but he apparently would not talk to her regarding just how he decided to look for arrowheads in that particular area. During that same interview, Erica Morris also informed reporters that they were in the midst of going down all the rabbit holes with this alleged witchcraft book that Billie Jean was trying to have hid away. Erica believes this book was called A Witch's Bible, which was eventually confirmed by Clint, who had apparently once seen this book in their home when they were together. And as random as it might sound, Erica kind of has to figure out if there's any significance to this book and how it might be related back to Haley's murder. After these series of interviews, someone else apparently called in and believes that they had previously came across some of Haley's personal items somewhere, but at the time didn't know that they were important because the case wasn't as big as it was in the news until recently. I'm not exactly sure what these personal items that this person found were, but they would have had her name on them, and this person who had found the items didn't realize that her name was that of a missing person at one point. That was until the social media blitz started happening and they called in this information. Finally, at the end of January 2019, Haley's mom, Billie Jean, would also decide to come out and defend herself against some of the rumors that were circulating again about her and the ex-boyfriend, Sean. She did her statement in a short interview with Crime Online, which the father, Clint, claims is purely a fluff piece from Billie Jean. The interview's like 19 minutes long, so I don't want to clip it here, but I will link it for everybody in the episode description. A couple months later, the dad, Clint, made another emotional post on Haley's Facebook page that he runs in honor of Haley. And in this video, Clint addresses some inconsistencies from Billie Jean's statements that she had made on Crime Watch. He would even go as far as to saying that he believes Billie Jean was present at the time that Haley was murdered and that she likely didn't do anything to stop it. Lastly, Clint also seemed to believe that Haley's brother David might also know more about what really happened. And in this video, he made a tearful request to him that he come forward and tell law enforcement what he knows, even if it means that he had to stop protecting his mom. And for a couple months, Clint would continue to make videos reaching out to his son David, asking him to please come forward about anything that he might know. Clint explained that he found it incredibly odd that the son David would have left the family home to spend the night at someone else's so late at night on the evening before Haley disappeared. Clint was under the impression that David actually left the home around 10:30 to 11, not 9 p.m. like he said, and not 6 p.m. like Billie Jean said. David would now be 26, and I believe he pretty much stays out of the picture. I have never seen him on any news interview or anything in regards to Haley's case. I can't find anything on him. I did happen to come across a somewhat interesting news article that was posted in December of 2019 while researching the private investigator, and something came up about Erica Morse being threatened by some type of officer while she was apparently looking into something regarding the case. There were also reports of her being run out of the sheriff's department when assisting other witnesses in making their own reports. This apparently sparked an internal investigation that I am not sure is resolved at this point or not, actually. Either way, it kind of sounds like she was starting to step on some official toes, and I don't like the sounds of that. I would fucking hate for corruption to be the reason that Haley's murderer is getting away with this. Just last December of 2020, Private Eye Erica Morse made a Facebook post to Haley's page updating everyone on where the case stood. She explained that the social media blitz was somewhat a success, but explained that Clint had been asked by his doctors to back off on the media because he had incurred some heart issues over the last few months. I'm sure years, honestly. But fortunately, Private Eye Erica also mentioned that there was finally some big movement in the case just in the last year, and hopefully when this pandemic isn't so active within the United States, that the justice system will finally get back up to speed, and Sean might just be getting stamped by that big old dick of the law here soon. She couldn't say very much, but she seemed very, very positive for the near future, which honestly gave me a little hope. Apparently, too, according to Clint, it's not even possible to charge Sean with the original kidnapping charges that were used to obtain the initial search warrants because the statute of limitations on those charges had apparently passed a few years earlier. So all this father has left is the hope that someday, whoever killed Haley will get what's owed to them. So now that we know the timeline, let's talk about the possibilities. I feel like there's two main ones. Either Haley really was taken by someone random, or possibly someone she knew, and obviously hurt, or the other possibility being that Haley never left her home alive. I suppose some evidence saying that she could have been taken during her walk to her friends could be the bloodhounds reportedly tracking Haley's scent to the nearby hotel parking lot. However, that surveillance apparently didn't confirm her presence on the property, so that's sort of a dead end. Unless perhaps she was in a car or something and that was overlooked. And besides that, which honestly isn't much, there's basically just tons and tons of local rumors where Haley was victim to trafficking related to drug debts. Like, there's a lot of rumors about that. As far as trafficking goes, like I said, Colorado City does happen to be located on a major interstate running between some big cities in Texas. It's not out of the realm of possibility to say it could somehow be related to the case. I should say too that if you do any research on this case, especially on YouTube, you're gonna come across a man who makes tons of videos concerning Haley Dunn and the possibility of her being involved in some big underground human trafficking ring beneath the city of Odessa, with like full-blown underground tunnels and shit. Honestly, it's really hard to follow for me. I think this man has gone quite hard in this theory, and whether or not he's onto something, he's beginning to not appear very credible, at least to me. And as much as I hate to say that, I also think it is possible that these types of videos that he's producing are also adding to the issue that police might not be able to do anything with this case if they have to be spending time with all these other types of rabbit holes before they can address other things. And when I say other things, obviously I mean the shady-ass ex-boyfriend Sean and Billie Jean. The amount of red flags this man raises in the case is astonishing, honestly, and how much she covers for him is upsetting. So let's cover some real evidence for this other theory. Sean was the last person to apparently see Haley alive. He was able to accurately describe the clothes that she was later found in, meaning she died around the same time as her disappearance. She probably wasn't held somewhere in the same clothes for a long time. Sean has no real alibi for the day that Haley went missing, as well as found to be lying about the alibi that he did have. He allegedly cannot produce the clothes that he was likely wearing the day that Haley went missing. That's not good. He initially wouldn't take a polygraph, I can't be too hard on him there, but then he apparently walked out of his polygraph multiple times while it was being administered. And, I mean, that's suspicious if you're innocent. Also, let me remind you, some of his non-deceptive answers, so the ones he didn't lie about on those polygraphs, were probably the most incriminating. But those will never stand up in court anyways. They do not hold polygraph results in court. But reminder, he answered, "You should be looking at us," meaning him and the mom. He was found to be telling the truth on that. As well as Scurry County being the area in which police could be looking for her. And boom, magically shows up in that specific area. Like, wow, are you a wizard? Also found to not be lying about that. So let's go over exactly when this could have happened. Using the affidavit, timestamps, locations, and Google Maps, I figured out that Sean would have had to have left from Colorado City around 5:20 a.m. to make it to Snyder, where he worked by 6 a.m. without being late. He was confirmed to be on time that day, but left around 6:10 a.m. according to his work. The affidavit's cell phone ping locations put him back in Colorado City near the same tower that Billie Jean's phone is pinging from at 6:35 a.m. That would be after witness accounts were said to see Billie Jean leaving around 6:20 a.m., though she claims to have left her phone at home all day. Sean took another phone call in Colorado City at 6:56, still the same tower that Billie Jean's phone is on, so assuming he is likely at home with Haley, who has Billie Jean's phone. His next ping places him near his mother's home in Big Springs at 9:37 a.m., and with the drive time included, that means the latest he could have left Colorado City was 9 a.m. That means there's a two-hour time gap between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m., which I believe Sean and Haley would have been the only ones in that home, and I believe this is probably when Sean came on to Haley and things went very, very south. I say this because there's other evidence to say that he likes children, and there's witness reports saying that he made Haley feel uncomfortable. I think it's very possible that Sean took Haley's body with him when he left Colorado City and hid her between there and his mother's place in Big Springs. After he got to his mom's, he made 11 phone calls. And I would pay a lot of money to know who the fuck he called. But that information wasn't released. And 11 is a lot of fucking phone calls. Sean's phone pings place him at his mother's until 2:40 p.m., and he claims to have been back at Billie Jean's home in Colorado City by 3 p.m. to witness Haley leaving to go to her friend's house. But even if he left Big Springs at 2:40, Google Maps tells me that he can't be back in Colorado City anytime before 3:17. So there's a bit of a window there for Sean to claim that he got home, because David didn't end up climbing through the window of his house until around 4 p.m. to find Sean in the home with a deer in the headlights look on his face. Did David catch Sean cleaning up a crime scene? And about that crime scene, was there an attempt to cover it up with the new furniture and painting Clint claims Billie Jean did in the days after Haley's disappearance? I know the last thing on my fucking mind would be the color on my walls if my child was missing from my home. I really hope that those little remodeling rumors are not true. However, I kind of think Billie Jean is pretty sus as well, personally. Let me tell you, she hadn't cried once in a single interview that I had seen her in, and honestly, if you watch all the appearances she made on Nancy Grace, plus the ones with her own local reporters, that's a lot of screen time talking about the very real and sad fact that your daughter is missing. And still missing, and still missing, and then murdered, all without shedding one single tear. That really fucking bothers me. I know it's not much, but given all this other shit, hooey, I know these people are probably watching their backs, honestly. Because there's been less circumstantial evidence that has successfully landed other people on death row. I mean, Scott Peterson has spent the last 15 years on death row with less evidence than they have on Sean Atkins. Seriously, both their alibis place them at the scene of the crime and with the bodies. If you don't understand how little they had on Scott Peterson, check out my four-part series on Patreon, because it's astonishing that Sean is not in jail already. God bless her father, Clint, because I honestly, Jesus Christ, he has some of the most amazing self-control to have waited this long without doing something on his own. But you guys, do I need to remind you about these fucking child porn charges? You would think that would be enough to land this guy behind bars long enough to draw out some kind of confession or something. Like, where's that good old Texas justice at? What the fucking fuck? It's pretty upsetting that this father has had to wait this long with literally all the evidence they have against this man. I mean, have police not arrested him because they have more intel on him being a drug dealer or a child porn producer or something? Like, why the hell would you be sitting on all this information and not do a damn thing with it? Is it even true? The police were the ones who actually outed him for the kiddie porn. No one else. So, if the police were too quick in considering these images that they found child porn, or perhaps they can't prove it was his, is technically possible because they have never charged him with having this child porn. They basically just outed him for it. The allegations of them alone on his computer, if true, should be enough to get this guy into custody to be answering some more questions about this case, though. Same goes for the mom, considering she also had access to these devices. But Sean is the only common factor between all the multimedia devices that it was allegedly found to be on. I mean, was it possible that Haley didn't want to be at home, so she kept her extracurricular school activities, like, all year long to reduce the amount of time she would have been at home with this creepy-ass mom's boyfriend? Of course, Sean doesn't have to talk to the police. That is his right. But that's where the police should, in honor of Haley, be taking it over to the district attorney for a grand jury at this point. I believe there's more than enough here to say that there's probable cause that Sean is responsible for the crime, which is different than saying he's guilty of the crime, but I also think that's the case as well. I just can't understand why nothing has been done and why everyone has seemed to let Haley's case just get swept under the rug. Like, all I want to know is, where the fuck is Sean at? Because I just want to talk. I just want to talk, Sean. I want to shake his hand. No, but seriously, if you know anything about the murder of Haley Dunn, I would ask that you please give Crime Stoppers a call on their tip line at 1-800-252-8477. Or also, please consider reaching out to Clint's private investigator, Erica Morse. I trust she's doing everything she can to help get justice for Haley. And I would like nothing more than Clint to just get some closure. Because honestly, this is a heartbreaking case. So yeah, this was quite a long episode. Thanks for sticking through it. You guys, I got so much love over my much-needed break. Thank you to everyone who reached out in an email or left a review on iTunes or shared an episode with a friend. I really appreciate all the love that I got back over my break. I have a big announcement that we got some merch in, and I will leave the link to that in my episode description. Please check it out if you're interested in supporting the podcast. I have a couple different sweatshirt designs and some joggers even. I also have a few shout outs to some new patrons I have. Thank you, James. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Missy. Thank you, Jerrica. And thank you, Courtney. You guys are freaking awesome. Your guys' support is what makes the show continue. I also got a couple shout outs for some love that I got over in the Apple reviews from SugarPeach2000, Teen Icarus, Smiley Riley, Kendra Girl, Texas Blonde, and KNF1016. Thank you guys all so much for taking the time to show your appreciation and love for the show. As always, you guys, remember to be safe, lock those damn doors, and honestly, trust no one. All right, you guys. Bye. And that was the tea. I hope you guys enjoyed my rendition of this story, and if so, please tell all your creepy-ass friends about it. You can find the sources I used for the episode in its description. You can find me slanging those memes on Instagram at True Crime Queen. If you'd like to support the podcast, check out patreon.com/gingerthetruecrimequeen, where you can find even more of the killer content.